and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Pando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is March the 7th, 2019. It is a Thursday. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to that. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Then I won't be on the board, so just say, excuse me, Dave. Then we'll see you, and then we'll definitely go to you for your question or comments. So very, very important. Just want to say thank you all for tuning in today. And Scotty gave me some great news. Scotty, did you want to talk about that before we get into today's show?
Yeah, I just posted the article on your timeline for today's show. I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but I'll go ahead and post it in the chat room in case you want to check it out. But basically what it is a company. It seems to be based in... Hold up, Dave. I'm kind of distracted. Let me cut this background.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, just settle down, Scotty.
First, I was notified on Twitter by this podcast search engine called Listen Notes. And what it does, it's a search engine like Google, Yahoo, and all them, but it only searches for podcasts, audio podcasts, I guess. And so they had notified me and some other people who have black podcasts that we was in the top 25 of, you know, the must-listen podcasts for 2019. So I said, okay, Listen Notes, never heard of you before. Good to know. It didn't really dawn on me what they was alerting me to. So then I was like, okay, I ain't never heard of Listen Notes. And it's a podcast search engine, and I like how they allow you to create playlists from these search engines. This is a cool site, you know, for people who listen to podcasts. So then I was like, well, who owns this platform? And so then I kind of like traced that platform to this marketing research company that seems to be based out of India. It could be based in Pakistan. I'm not sure, but I think they're Indians. They look like Indian, like they're in India to me, you know, because they have a team photo of all the employees and whatnot and what have you. So this is what it says, how they determine, you know, who was in the top 25. Let me open up that article right quick, Dave, to tell you about how they came to this determination. Because, you know, in the past I've seen black podcast awards and stuff, but you have to submit your entry and then, you know, they vote and what have you. So it's purely based off of opinions and what have you, and not so much off of, you know, is anybody actually listening to this podcast? What's its reach? You know, who's following it? What kind of influence does it have? So, Blade Talk Radio came in number one for, let me see, it's top 25 black audio podcasts and radio you must subscribe and listen to in 2019. And see, we're podcasts and radio. Right now, we're doing radio. Later, when somebody who missed the live show, they'll listen to the podcast. So we're mixture of both. All right, so it has Black Talk Radio listed number one, and then the other 25. Some of these people I've heard of, they got huge followings because they were like Bomani Jones from ESPN. He has a podcast that came in number four. The new Black Panther Party, they got a podcast that's on Blog Talk Radio. It's like came in at number three. Let me see some of these other ones. Larry Wilmore, I've heard of him. He's Larry Wilmore is the guy who be on The Daily Show sometimes, I think. The Daily Show. I remember years ago he was at the correspondence dinner and was telling jokes, and you know, he called Barack Obama my nigga or something like that. So, you know, it's a couple of notable names on here. But as I stated, Black Talk Radio Network came in first. This is what it says. These podcasts are ranked based on the following criteria: Google reputation and Google search ranking, influence and popularity on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media sites, quality and consistency of episodes, and FeedSpots, that's the name of the company, FeedSpots editorial team and expert review. It says, congratulations to every podcaster that has made this top black podcast list. This is the most comprehensive list of the best black podcasts on the internet, and I'm honored to have you as part of this. I personally give you a high five and want to thank you for your contribution to this world. So, again, that's from FeedSpot. It is the company, and what they are is a marketing research firm for, like, if advertisers are looking to connect with people who have influence on the internet, they call them influencers, or, you know, want to take out ads in platforms or podcasts or whatnot. This is what they do. It's not just podcasting, though. You know, it's all media that's disseminated across the internet. So, you know, I just wanted to tell, you know, our hosts, this isn't just the difference between us and these other podcasts is we work as a collective. Black Talk Radio Network feed has, it's not just BTR News, it's not just Tando Radio Show, it's not just Real Life the Radio Show, it's not just Mind, Body, and Spirit, it's not just Time for Awakening, it's not just The Context of White Supremacy, it's all of us. All of us, all of our podcasts go out over one single feed, which is when I envisioned starting Black Talk Radio Network. I didn't see it as a single individual. I saw it as an opportunity for black people who are into this podcasting and digital radio broadcasting to work together in a collective. And it's paid off, man. We number one.
And we're going to go, Scotty, and I'm glad that you, and I think that was the most sincere approach, because it resonated with me. It resonates with me to actually have it as a collective, because we always talk about it, collective prudence, how important that is. And this is a clear example of that. And we're going to continue to go and continue to grow. And I greatly appreciate, and I want to thank you, Scotty, and everyone that contributes to Black Talk Radio Network, the host. Big ups to Scotty, the host, and the listeners, and all of the supporters, because, you know, without everyone participating, Black Talk Radio Network wouldn't be what it is now. And it wouldn't have the opportunity to go where it's going. And we're going to definitely push and pull to get it there. Because I firmly believe that there's four types of people in the world: pushers, pullers, riders, and watchers. Some people pull to get to where, when you pull in something, like Scotty's a puller, when you're pulling something, the whole weight and burden of everything is on your shoulders. When you're pushing something, that means that you're helping the person that's pulling it But at any time, you can say, uh-oh, it's too heavy, and jump out the way, right? Then there's riders. Riders are those individuals that will just jump on for the ride. They will just add weight. They want to be carried and taken somewhere. And then there's watchers. And watchers are the individuals that's watching to either become a puller, a pusher, or a rider, or just to be a spectator. So that one is a duality of many of things that are good and things that are evil, in my opinion, or things that are helpful or things that will bring in about a hindrance to where you're going. They're there to decide what they want to do. So that's just me. Four types of people.
I was going to add to that watcher. Oftentimes, those are the person that's telling you, you know, just criticizing you. You can't do that. Yep. You shouldn't do that. Blase, blase as well.
Yeah, there's many. And there could be those that could actually be the ones that are supporting you, you know, as well. But to me, that there's four types of personalities in this world. And it doesn't encompass everything, but generally, for me, there are four types of personalities: pushers, pullers, riders, and watchers. So, and I'm gonna tell you, Scotty, you're a puller. You're definitely a puller, and I greatly appreciate what you do and all of the individuals and hosts that are on this network, from everyone that participates in hosting a show. There's a lot to it. It's a lot to it. They are pullers too. They are definitely pullers. So greatly appreciate you all. We're going to jump into today's show. But before we do that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. Become a member in this social media platform known as BTR Community, where you can engage in your social media activities without being as negatively or adversely affected. You can do it in a more holistic way. You can actually, for $24 a year, one-time annual membership of $24 a year, you can engage in promoting yourself, your business, other things, other businesses that you think need to be highlighted, other things that you think need to be brought to the forefront or discussed or give more public awareness to, within reason, for only $24 a year. And you know, the overall negative impact of that is not as bearing as in other things. So definitely please do that. Hold on one second.
Hey, while we wait on Dave, I'm working on this campaign, y'all. I spent yesterday trying to work on some promo videos, but we're in a fundraiser, and you know that award came to us at the right time, cause you know, Dave, I have been telling you and talking to some others in private that I can't do this no more, man. I'm gonna have to shut down if we don't have the financial support, you know, I'm not able to do much. But look at what we've done over the years, man, with a little bit. Now, we had a proper budget, man, we could do so much more. So, like, this other person was saying, hey, you know, you should check out this Black podcast. And I was like, you know what? I know about the guy. You know, I'm friends with him on Facebook. He always tagged me in his posts. He's hosting on Black Blog Talk Radio. I was like, no, he should join us. He should join this Black collective. You know, if he's looking to get exposure for his Black podcast or what have you. That doesn't mean he has to leave Blog Talk Radio. We distribute through Blog Talk Radio. But our base of operations is our own. So, you know, anytime anybody wants to shut off our other accounts, they can never take our home away from us. Only we can take our home away from us. And so, you know, so I was saying, just $24 a year, dude, you paying Blog Talk $30 to do your show every month. I'm charging you I'm not charging you, but we're asking for a $24 a year contribution, and you can podcast all you want to on Black Talk Radio Network. And then, as Dave mentioned, there's also the social media piece. And I do want to thank those who didn't want to become a podcaster or a publisher on the network, didn't want to join the social media community. But I had a person send in $100 yesterday, one person sent in $100, another person sent in $50, another person said, hey, I want your platform to stay alive. Here, you know, here's my $24. So, you know, those people aren't even looking to get, they already know what we have and what they're getting. So they was like, no, I'm not a publisher. I'm not a podcaster. I don't really, you know, want to join another social media community, but I want to see Black Talk Radio Network stay alive. You know, so I'll be rolling out, you know, the details for the campaign, but that's basically it.
And we're going to do so much more, Scotty. I greatly appreciate. And this is, you know, it's really so important to me because it emphasizes how I think is the best way to do things.
Hey, you got a call on the board. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. What's that, Scotty?
You got a call on the board that we're on.
Oh, okay.
Believe that's right.
Let's go to that caller. Welcome, caller, to the Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment before we get started in the show today?
609. I'm pretty sure that's Ross, but he probably can't talk. So, Ross, your mic is open whenever you want to jump in. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. So, definitely. And there's another puller right there, my man Rob. So yes, we're going to jump into today's show. So please support the network. Go to the website, make a donation, but more importantly, become a member in BTR community. Because one of the things that most people don't look at and overlook when it comes to FedBook is because they're aware of it because it was given it had the overall full support of the mainstream media and advertisers to be put in front of you, and that's why it's so popular. Okay, just because something is popular doesn't mean that it is in the best interest of you. And I will say, FedBook, aka Facebook, is probably one of the worst social media platforms for you because of how it's and what its true design and what its true agenda is. You're losing much there, and but what I mean by it is not a private membership, okay? And so in BTR community, you don't have to worry about you not getting a employment, you not getting a raise, you not getting this, you not getting that, which all happens in that overall platform, because what you're really doing is that on FedBook, you're actually disclosing every intimate detail about your life for the world to see. Not a wise thing to do, because it will be used against you, and that cost is great. It's great. See, we have to come into a mindset of understanding, you know, Keith, we have to stop becoming price sensitive and aware of value. We think everything that has value has a price, but everything that is that has a value is not determined by price. We've been taught to be great consumers, so we're price sensitive to everything, and we don't see the value hardly in anything. Most people can't really distinguish something that has real value, real intrinsic value, than something that has consumer marketing, right? Consumer edification. Consumer entertainment. And we place too high of a value, too high of a demand for nonsense. We actually want to engage collectively too much in things that will actually bring about the detriment and is really the cause of our demise. So we definitely have to grow up.
Well, we...
Me too. I do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and say, Keith, I know you really, really do. So I just wanted to make that up. But go ahead, Keith.
Lost knowledge is a terrible thing. Because once you lose it, it's really hard
to get it back. Oh, my goodness, Keith.
Especially generation.
Say that again. Say that again, Keith.
Lost knowledge is a terrible thing. And it's synergistic.
You said it's a terrible thing to lose.
Yeah, because it's so difficult to read.
Man.
So, like, if you go back a couple of generations ago, right? and you look at our ancestors, and when I talk about ancestors, I'm just talking about our great-grandparents, where our grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember, man, they could take $20 and it would last all month.
Yeah.
They understood value. They understood value. And that was passed on from generation to generation. But when we got to where we are now, that we don't cook, we don't do any of those things that were staples in a home, where do you start to regain that? You know?
Yeah.
It's a long road and a tough process, because whereas all that stuff was given to us intrinsically being brought up,
yeah,
now you have to consciously go forth, seek that knowledge out, and you can only do it one subject at a time.
Yeah. And you know what, Chief, is one of the things you always say, you don't know what you don't know. And that's why that's such a great law. And it's purposely being done, and it's actually being substituted by something that is going to replace our independence with dependency.
Absolutely.
We are becoming completely dependent, and we're not even sovereign or self-sufficient. And that's a detriment, because once you lose that skill, that determination, and have that will process, because that's really what it is. When that will process is lost, you actually place yourself as slave.
Sure. And at the same token, though, that process that you're talking about is being encouraged.
Sure. And nurtured.
Absolutely.
And massaged. And disseminated.
You know, one of the main things, there was a study, this was several years ago, and if you go back again, if you look at our grandparents loved us, but they understood that their purpose was to raise self-sufficient contributing members into our society.
Yeah, so true.
And that was their task, and that's how they looked at it. Whereas today, well, actually, this is probably 10 years ago, 76% of the parents, like 10 years ago, they felt as though their priority was to be their child's best friend. That is a picture of destruction.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And in today's, and I'm seeing a trend that is picking up momentum.
Absolutely.
No, this is the trend that I'm seeing that's picking up momentum. And that trend that you spoke about, is that train has lost the station. I mean, left the station, lost the station. That train has left the station. I'm seeing a very, very disturbing trend where people or parents are moving to be agents of their children.
Sure.
To be their child's agent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm assuming that you're talking about how they push them into sports and trying to give them athletes.
Yes, that's one part of it. But real, yeah, it's so woof. Oh my goodness! And they do it under this pretense, which is the trick. The key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. It's all about getting an education.
Say it again.
It's all about getting an education, when you'll never get an education from an institution of schools. You will only get schooled.
And our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and even for some of us, our parents, education was always a priority. It was always a priority.
It's a much different thing, because today it's set up as schooling. You're just taught to repeat and obey and stay in line. How many vocational institutions do we have anymore where you're actually taught a trade? They're gone. But they will school you to be the perfect employee. They will school you to be the perfect pawn. They will not give you a form of self-determination and sovereignty. Because that means that you will start to identify who you really are and the value you are. And one thing about when you have a trade, when you have a skill that you developed that you can monetize, Keith. What happens is that you don't own that overall skill, Keith. You control that skill. Once again, today, control and ownership is going to come up again. You control that skill. You decide how you're going to use your energy skillfully. It's a huge difference. And what happens, Keith, is this. When you have a trade, when you have a skill, when you've mastered a trade and a skill, you don't need the economy. The economy needs you because you are a resource. We have so allowed institutions to have bureaus of human resources when we are not our own, we are not utilizing our own abilities and talents as our own asset. If you're not your number one asset, the fault is yours. The fault is yours. And this mentality, this direction has to be diverted. It has to be altered. It has to be by choice decided not to participate in. Every individual should choose that, in my opinion. But I wouldn't make anybody do it. I'm too focused on fulfilling that for myself and sharing the benefits of that with like-minded individuals.
Sure, and again, we have to understand, like we were saying, all this stuff did not come about haphazardly.
No, in one event.
Were put in place purposely. So they used to say that school was where you go to learn not what to think, but how to think.
Right.
They no longer teach you how to think. They teach you what to think.
Yeah.
Your vocational things, it gave you not only a self-worth, but it gave you, put you in a position that you were in demand from or for somebody.
Yeah.
Whereas it, you know, and I was making this conversation the other day, if you look at colleges now, unless you get a degree in a few isolated things, the masses do not, but it puts you in demand of nobody. You know, especially when you start like and majoring in stuff like what do they call it, liberal arts and all that kind of stuff. You know, I saw a thing the other day, talked about the college guy, he talked about the ignorant vocational guy because he's stupid, he has no education. This guy's college educated. Well, the college educated guy, he goes out there, he can't find a job. Whereas the stupid guy, he's got a vocation doing electricity or cable, whatever it is, making $80,000 a year. Well, the stupid guy just cut off the services of the educated guy because he can't afford to pay the bill that the stupid guy is providing.
And you know what? So many people are afraid to talk about the scam of colleges. The scam of they're afraid to talk about it. You know why, Keith? Because they've invested so much in it. And more importantly, the propaganda has been so deeply seated in their psyche that they can't think for themselves. They think how someone has told them to think. And that's a big, big problem. We'll cover that at some point, someday, maybe one day. But many people are afraid to talk about the scam of the schooling system. And that is a true scam, true scam. So check out. Also, if you'd like to acquire real money, go to Prosperity Mint. Check out what's in inventory. And then email info@prosperitymint. Let them know that you listen to Tando Radio Show. Dave said, hey, give your email. Make sure you leave a number so someone can call you back. And the one thing that they're going to do is not going to be a sales call. They're just going to tell you the proper way in acquiring the precious metals. You should be exchanging your cash, your debt, your slave's wage for an asset. The wage of a king and queen is silver. The wage of a lady and a gentleman is gold. The wage of a slave is debt. Every slave is paid a debt. Gotta do something different. Just because you're paid a slave's wage doesn't mean that you have to save as a slave. So that the slave can become king or queen. Very important. So, all right. So we're going to jump into what's in the news. Today's show for March the 7th, 2019, the topic is the acoustic dragnet. the Ilhan Omar effect. Very, very important. Sorry about that. My voice went out. The Ilhan Omar effect. And the House of Representatives Omar is under an attack by both Democrats and Republicans. And I say that there is an acoustic dragnet that's being set up here. And I hope that we would be mature enough to see through it. And it's, and I'm saying that not for the stamp, but from the standpoint of what's in our collective best interest. We're getting played. This is a dragnet. And it's an acoustic dragnet because it's meant to do something very, it has a very, very defined agenda. And it's working very well. So we're going to take a look at that. First article comes from The Intercept. From, we're going to jump into what's in the news. Rakeith sent me two good articles yesterday. We wanted to, I just wanted to highlight to, because Keith sent them to me. So that has some you know, real measure of real wealth, I mean, worth. Also, I want to say thanks to my man, Carlos, for the stuff that you sent, TK, and also my good brother, oh, shoot. Who sent me that one article? Sent me a couple of articles. One second. Who else sent it? Sent me a real good article. I want to make sure. Brother Mike sent me one, some good articles, and two other people. Real quick. My man Anthony sent me some good stuff, and then also Jeffrey was the other person, sent me some good articles. I wasn't able to put them all, but thanks to Jeffrey, Anthony, Carlos, TK, and everyone else that sends me things from time to time. I greatly, greatly appreciate you all so, so much. All right, so let me, real quickly, let me get into what's in the news for today. And anytime you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. I'm not on the board, so I won't be able to see you on the board, so just say excuse me, and we'll definitely bring you up. So here we go. So first article, this is from The Intercept. Republicans and Democrats say that their criticism of Ilhan Omar is about anti-Semitism. They're gaslighting you. That's so, so true. So check out that. That's going to be a part of today's show. Then I have, you want to say something?
No, you're going to make that a part of today's show?
That's going to be today's show.
Okay. Yeah.
So next one, I posted a YouTube video from Lying Like a Fox News, one of Keith's favorite news stations. This one came from Lying Like a Fox News. And let me tell you something. I'm going to just say this. One thing about me is that mainstream media, I know their value. Whenever a fool talks, you should always listen. For wherever the direction the fool says you should go, you need to know. You definitely need to know what a fool thinks and where a fool is advising you to go. So you'll know what opposite thing to do. That a fool says go left, you go right. That's what why I really do appreciate mainstream media. So
which is right in line with what you're talking about.
Right? Yeah. What was that?
It says perspective. It's time, high time, to take Fox News' destructive role in America seriously. You know, right in line with what you're saying.
Right, right. And it's the same, but it's not just Fox. It's Cerebrally Naive Network as well. You know, it's commonly referred to as CNN.
I agree. Or
the Central Intelligence Network.
I agree, but whenever you get to these discussions,
or MSNBC.
Well, yeah, but some are far more destructive than others, and I don't think you have to go into a conversation very far, very deep to see that Fox is on such a far extreme in their destruction in comparison to the others. If you look at a lot of the things that our illustrious president is doing, it's nothing.
What did you say?
Our illustrious president.
What did you say?
Anyway, moving on.
Had nothing to do with the president. It said the first thing that you said. That
Which one?
R. Well, who does,
oh, yeah.
Who
does
R
stuff? United States. I apologize. But you look at the things that he's doing. There's not.
And I said that also for when celebrity figurehead Obama was president as well. I don't distinguish between the two. They both fulfill the same role. Okay, Keith.
Well, again, I think that we've had this discussion many times.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely some things that Obama did that I can't get behind by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, I just flat out dislike, right? But in comparison, I see what Donald Trump is doing as a complete sabotage in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can pin that on Obama. And what I mean by that, if you look at
I'm glad you said you don't think.
Here's why I say that.
No, for me.
Because, again, there's definitely things that I can't get behind of what Obama did.
Yeah, of course.
But if you look at Trump is actively destroying the rule of law, actively destroying the water supplies, actively destroying that wind and that air and the food and everything.
Yeah.
And it's a complete path of sabotage.
Yeah.
Look at Fox News,
mm-hmm.
they are completely, I'm not even going to say they're following him. They're leading him on that path. So, I just think we got to be careful because, like I have a conversation with somebody else, he says, well, it's all the same. I say, it's not all the same. You know, there's a lot of truth that even if you want to look at it as pick your poison or the lesser two evils,
mm-hmm.
okay, let's do that. But I say that one is much more evil than the other one.
I would just say this. They all play their purpose role. They all play their purpose role, and the overall objective is the same. The method may be a little different, but it's purposely for the same objective. And that objective has actually been such a burden to us all, in my opinion, for a very, very long time. And until we change our overall reaction and our overall participation in it, it's only going to get worse. And I just wanted to say, in reading this article, first thing that I'm going to say is that Republican and Democrat, there's no difference between me. I'm a political atheist. I don't believe in any of them. I don't trust any of them. And I would never, ever say that you should, because history and evidence is on our side and will be on my side and get laying that point that the road to destruction is by participation in the rules of engagement set forth by these entities. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, let me say this to Keith. I get where he's coming from. But Keith, MSNBC is just as bad as Fox News. They just have a different mission in Fox News. Fox News is meant to propagandize mostly white people who identify as conservatives or Republicans. Now, you can get some good information off of Fox News. I like Judge Neil, how you say his name, Neopolitano.
Yeah,
I think that he gives objective information when they start talking about, let's say, Mueller or anything Trump has done. And, you know, he's a former judge. And from what I've seen of what he said about different things, he's coming from an objective place. Okay. Now, you know, the other shows, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly ain't on there no more. Laura Ingraham and all them. Oh, man, straight, just atrocious propagandists. But the same on MSNBC, is just that their target audience is different. Their target audience is so-called, quote-unquote, liberals, people who identify as Democrats and black people. But they're just as atrocious. You know, I've been putting off... making this video about these black people that work for MSNBC or the Root or these other mainstream corporations, because I've caught them in straight up lies. Just to give you an example, okay, to sell people on the Russian collusion stuff, in the discredit independent media, you had Joy Ann Reid do a segment where she was saying, you know how you spot Russian bots or accounts under the influence of Putin is if they got those tiny URL shorteners and it's not the whole URL, then that's a Russian bot. You know, that's absolutely ridiculous, man. You know, because you have companies that have been around for a long time that that's their service, you know, because of Twitter. You can only at one time, 140 characters. Well, a URL might be doggone 25, 30 characters. So these URL shorteners is what allow you to post the link and, you know, give a little intro to what you posting about or what you linking to. So, I mean, just, and then, you know, Twitter shortens its own URLs when it sends you out, you know, for the internal tracking and what have you. So that's one example. Then the other example, man, this black dude was on there, Dr. Jones, whatever his name was, and he was talking about Kamala Harris might have a problem with getting support from, the way he put it, blue-collar working black men, because she put a lot of black men in jail as attorney general. So he listed all of these different concerns that a black man might have, and then he's wrong for even framing it in a genderized way. There's just as many women for the same reasons as black men who don't support Kamala Harris because she's a former cop or prosecutor or whatnot. So, but they want to make it look like all opposition is coming from black men. So anyway, he said, and I got a copy of the video, he said again that, you know, Kamala Harris, a former prosecutor, and then right now we're not even really into the primary stage, but her primary opponents are going to find a weakness or her Achilles heel in her record as a prosecutor. And she will have a problem getting support from blue-collar black male voters. Do you know Joy Ann Reid, after he said all of that, gave you all that explanation, said, so what I'm hearing is black men just won't support a black woman. I'm like, man, she is so disgusting to me. So it's all media. And I've been going through old Malcolm X clips. I'm making promos and stuff for him talking about the media. I just made one yesterday where he was saying, you never let your enemies tell you anything about yourself or even themselves because they lying. You know, they gonna lie. You can't trust them. He said you should never read anything in your newspaper and accept it as truth until you've had time to do your own research and gathering of facts and what have you. And that's just mainstream media in general, Keith. I do understand that some are more egregious than others, but they all exist to manipulate on the behalf of corporations and the state. They're fascists, man. All of them.
Yeah, they are fascists, and I know Keith knows that. You know, it's a matter of what side of it, you know. And then my whole thing is that you need to know these things, because knowing this is that the public airwaves are absolutely sacred to the control factors. The public airwaves are sacred. That's the sanctuary. Because that's where they lay the sacrifice, that's where they make the offerings, that's where they adjudicate, that's where they actually look to manipulate their overall influence of power to be supreme and to be worshipped as supreme. And that's definitely it.
Dave, let me play this short 1 minute clip. This is the promo I made as part of our fundraiser. Again, we're looking for 1,000 donors or publishers, just a combination of 1,000. We're trying to raise a budget of $24,000 a year. And so I'm going to be making these promos on why it's important that we have our own media. So this is Malcolm X. He's actually was asked a question by this white woman who said, you know, was talking about, you know, how the police be beating up white people in the poorer communities. And Malcolm was like trying to school her. Yeah, you may be getting abused by the cops, but guess what? You know, it ain't nothing comparable to what black people was going through. But, you know, he then starts talking about the media, and because she was saying it ain't enough of us to fight these cops and stuff, and then he started talking about why you can't trust the media and what have you. So this is Malcolm warning people against the fake news of the corporate press. It's how I titled this. Let's see, here we go.
Everybody's going for something. We alone, there are too few of us. There are too many men up there with all their cop cars and everything.
That's what they're always telling you. Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinions. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So, but how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are. And how this they are and how that they are.
Yeah, I'm there. That's what we really try to convey, is that you have to be sovereign and self-determined. Hear what is being said and devise your own direction from it. So definitely great promo from the great, one of the great individuals of our, you know, of our time, and I greatly miss that overall voice, but it has to be carried, that overall cause has to be carried by all, because it is a sovereign, it is a call for sovereignty and self-determination, and that should ring throughout the world. So, well done, Scotty, looking forward to that promo, and we need to definitely keep Black Talk Radio Network and give our overall support behind it, give our financial energy behind it, so this network can continue to do what it's been predestined and predetermined that it would do before it even started its overall first, gave its first show or gave its first inkling of what its agenda would be. So very, very important. Very important. So we're going to jump into what's in the news and then come back to have our show. So that article was from The Intercept. Republicans and Democrats say their criticism of Ilhan Omar is about anti-Semitism. They're gassing you. Very, very true. Very, very true. And then there was a YouTube video that we're going to play real quick when we come back from Lying Like a Fox News. Next article from Press, and that was about the Democrats party in chaos over anti-Semitism, talking about Representative Omar. Next article from Press TV, Netanyahu threatens, Keith, check this one out. Netanyahu threatens to block Iranian oil shipments. That's an act of war, ladies and gentlemen, for the overall buyer of that oil and for Iran itself. It's coming. Next article from Charles Hugh Smith, what killed the middle class? Check out that article, good one. Next article from South China Morning Post. Is the United States willing to wage nuclear war to contain China's rise? Yes. definitely. That's going to be one we're going to have to keep. I see your face rolled up on that one. Yeah, that's a good one. Next article from RT International. Hear this with the celebrity figurehead prime minister, celebrity figurehead president of Turkey said, Erdogan. We aren't slaves. Erdogan defies U.S. pressure over the S-400 deal with Russia. Says the S-500 may follow. Turkey will be in the crosshairs. It always has been recently and is going to be. Watch, some things are going to come up real soon. Next article from Sputnik News. Venezuela declares German envoy persona non grata. They basically kicked him out yesterday. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I thought that was a smart move by Germany, what they did. Really, really smart. I thought it was a really, really smart thing by getting kicked out of Venezuela. Because it's not what you think, in my opinion. Germany wanted to get kicked out.
Yeah.
Because they actually, in my opinion, Germany actually does support Venezuela. So, great, great strategical move there, in my opinion. Here it is. Latin America. Early Berlin joined the U.S. and its allies in recognizing Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido as the country's interim president after giving President Nicolas Maduro an ultimatum to hold snap election. So, check out that. And then when Juan Guaido came back on Monday, the German envoy was there to make sure that he didn't get arrested, and then that's when they got kicked out. So check out that article. Cunning move right there. Cunning move. I'll talk about that later next week. Remind me, Keith. So check out that. And then China plans to build the world's first solar-powered station in space. Yeah. Keith just showed me that. Check out that. We'll have that at some other time. Now, from Reuters. We're just basically talking about the Asian shares are on the decline as the global growth concerns return. They're sluggish. The Asian shares are sluggish as global growth concerns return. Asian shares are struggling because of that. And they're sluggish. And so that is and I'm thinking that China is a lot of this is completely a part of the global financial crisis that's going to happen. So check out that. And this is also, Africa's not poor. We are stealing its wealth. That's so true. So true. So check out that. Next article, this one comes from Business Insider. U.S. official says they will investigate the risking of $1.6 trillion leverage loans into the market. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Different times. President's intelligence used... let me move this back. Different times. Pakistan's intelligence used GEM terrorists for attacks in India, the ex-president admit. So check out that. There's a lot going on there. And that thing and situation in India and Pakistan is not going to go away anytime soon. It's only going to, in my opinion, go through dips and go through slow points, but it's going to continue to exacerbate and get worse. Next article from Sputnik News. Guaido claims Venezuela government threatens Germany after envoy's expulsion. Guaido claims Venezuelan government's threatening Germany after the envoy was kicked out. So they were kicked out yesterday or Monday for supporting Guaido's return. Like I said, I thought that was a genius play by Germany. And his comments come after the Venezuelan government expelled the German ambassador who welcomed the opposition leader at the airport on Monday. Germany has early supported sanctions on Venezuela, which were initially imposed by the United States in a bid to force out President Maduro. So that's just my opinion that's what was done there. Next article from Press TV, American people turning against Israel. It was a poll.
Okay, now, it's funny you should mention that because I had a long conversation on this subject today, this morning, as a matter of fact, and I just came across another article for you. Mm-hmm. And if you read that.
This one is from a personal one. first ever 40 Jewish groups worldwide oppose equality with a criticism of Israel. Yeah, it's definitely, because you know what it is, Keith? That's what today's show is really,
yeah,
really, really, how all of this is being played out and how this is really, really, really important.
Well, and it's huge because, like when you were talking about the young lady, what's the congressman's name out of, I believe it's out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they're just hammering her, and you got all these
Ilhan.
Religious rights evangelists and stuff like that backing up Israel. And the thing is, how do you back up any organization that is doing wrong?
Yeah.
And to say that they're doing wrong is not anti-Semitism. I don't care who you are. You're doing wrong.
Because we're gonna talk about it. And with this article that Keith was telling me, it says first ever 40 Jewish groups worldwide oppose equating anti-Semitism with criticism of Israel. So just because you criticize Israel doesn't make you anti-Semitic.
Absolutely.
But that's what the propaganda
absolutely
has to have.
And I would add to that, Dave. I would add to that, just because you classify yourself as a Jew don't make you a Semite either.
Right. That's very, very true, Scotty. Well said. And that's what the propaganda has to have in order to create the division to get you to kill someone that you don't even know. And that's really what this is all about. This is what gets you to obey. This is what gets you to worship. This is what gets you to compromise your morality for someone else's agenda. That's the setup. So check out that. Next article. This is from the Automatic Earth. The House hits a new low. Talking about and bringing Michael Cohen to testify. So check out that article. Next article. This one comes from the Conservative Tribune. And I said, shaking my head. This is what they do. Highest-ranking black congressman blows holes in Warren's and Harris pro-reparations agenda. Of course, boy, this is why I'm a political atheist. These individuals are serving themselves while actually compromising their agenda to fulfill someone else's objectives. And it's always going to be done that way. And it's a measure of individual. See, it's one of the things about things is that corruption doesn't start at the top, right? You don't get completely, I said that wrong. Thanks for looking at me that way, Keith. Corruption isn't highlighted only at the top. It's first seeded among upon inception, and it's small, and it grows. It's not going to take good people and then all of a sudden move them to the pinnacle of corruption right away. No, because then it'd be too easy for someone to do what? To develop a resistance to that. What they do is a methodical approach. It starts small and gets bigger and get bigger and get bigger and it gets bigger. And then before that individual knows it, and that individual that you thought was had a benevolent agenda, their benevolency becomes malevolent and shrewd and cunning. And this is the graduation. And those that don't say yes to it, they don't go any further. Those that show the overall willingness to compromise, what does Civil War say, aka Star Wars? The force in you is strong. Very important. Listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. We'll come back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. All right, so let's get going. Next article from Sputnik News, Black Reparations, professor on why Democrats have no sense of economic proportions. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Strategic Culture. Is the world closer to conflict because of Donald Trump? Is the question that was asked. Good article from Strategic Culture. Check out that. Next article, this one's from The Intercept as well. There is a taboo against criticizing AIPAC. And Representative Omar just destroyed it. Check out that article as well. Next article from Press TV. Rouhani, Iran a key decision maker for the Middle East security. The celebrity figurehead president of Iran said that Iran is the key decision maker for Middle East security. Yep, very, very true. And this is why this war is going to definitely take full shape. Next article from RT International is another one that is a duplicate of another article, just in another way. Israeli Navy ready to block Iranian oil exports in transit. It's an act of war. So check out that. What's that, Keith?
It's an article that says exclusive ICE has kept tabs on anti-Trump protesters in New York City.
Of course, they kept tabs on everybody. Yeah.
So this is...
they kept tabs on it. Where do you think they kept tabs on it? With their face recognition stuff and
where they are, what they're doing, location.
Yep. Yeah.
And all of that is going to be kicked into play with this lie.
Sure.
What they call it? The 4G.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. The 5G network. Yeah. Which is probably, they probably got 2700G. So that technology is there too. So check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. More than a ballistic missile. The Nordic analysis on the Icelander threat. And so, and that's one of the missiles. It's not the Icelander. It's the Icelander. It's the one of the missiles that can be nuclearized that Russia is deploying in Eastern Europe and in Russia itself, and then going to probably strategically put it in Cuba and in Venezuela, in my opinion. So. Check out that next article. And I remember when celebrity figurehead Trump said, we're going to pull troops out of Syria. I laughed. I said, boy, watch how this goes. Well, here we go. Trump says he agrees 100% with keeping U.S. troops in Syria. And it came from NBC News, nothing but criminal news. So, and that was what was in the news. So we're going to jump into today's show. Anytime you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call. Stop moving. 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Keith, so very important show. In today's show, the acoustic dragnet, the Ilhan Omar effect is what I categorize it as, but would love to hear from you in today's show. Let me see, make sure we don't have any callers. Cool, we don't, so we're going to get ahead and get going. So, you know, recently there's actually a House resolution. Well, let me just, I'm going to post this inside of BTR. And so Scotty can play this real quick. It's from Keith's favorite place, Fox News. Just hear this real, and we don't have to play, don't play the whole thing, Scotty. Just stop it halfway through. No. Play it all the way through. It's not that long. Let's just hear that real quick because it's really important for what we're going to be talking about. Here we go. I posted it there. Scotty, whenever you get a chance, if you could, let me just make sure it's not too long. And if it is, it's 5 minutes long, Scotty. So if you could play it up to, 5 minutes is cool, I guess.
But just play Britain's leftist Labour Party, with New York Magazine asking tonight, can anti-Semitism split Democrats like it split Labour? So are Democrats here in danger of losing Jewish members of their own party over their handling of what Speaker Pelosi called early last month deeply offensive anti-Semitic comments by Congresswoman Omar? Well, today Pelosi called the latest Omar comments not intentionally anti-Semitic. Let's bring in Zudi Jasser from the American Islamic Forum for Democracy and former Republican senator from Minnesota, Norm Coleman, who's also the national chairman of the Republican Jewish Coalition. Welcome to you both, gentlemen.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll start with you, Senator. What do you make of Nancy Pelosi seeming to soften a bit on her characterization of these comments?
I think she's getting pressure from the left, and that's what this is all about. I actually applauded Speaker Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, the old Democrats, who originally, you know, said, listen, this isn't right. Omar is an anti-Semite. Not everyone that criticizes Israel is anti-Semitic. Not everyone that criticizes someone who's Jewish is anti-Semitic. But if you have someone who repeatedly issues the kind of the target traffics in the classic tripes, Jews control politicians with money, they control the media, and they have dual loyalties, that person is an anti-Semite. So that's what you have. Pelosi originally criticized it, and then I think had to step back because the left, far left is pushing back. And unfortunately, that is the base of the Democratic Party today.
Well, and we heard in the Washington Post headline, there were several reports on what happened behind closed doors today. House Democrats erupt in protests over indirect sanction of Representative Omar for alleged anti-Semitism, because they're still saying they're not going to include her name probably in this resolution. The article goes on to say House Democrats erupted in fury Wednesday, challenging leaders over indirectly sanctioning freshman Representative Ilhan Omar. Zudi, what do you make of that? I mean, that there would be that much heat that they cannot get together in a uniform voice on this particular issue.
That tells you that the Pelosi-Hoyer leadership is really, they'll sacrifice anything at the altar of identity politics. And at the end of the day, we see happening in Congress where the UN went, which is the red-green axis. You have the coalition of the far-left socialists in the world, the dictators that are socialists, along with the Islamists, and sacrificed at that is the Jewish community. And I have to tell you, as an American Muslim, it is offensive to me that she's not held to the same standard. If she was not Muslim, there would have been unanimous rebuke, and it wouldn't have even been an issue. But she's being coddled and infantilized, and we're not being treated as equals. She's not being given tough love. In fact, they're denying that it's anti-Semitism. I would ask the Democrats to look up the State Department's report on what new anti-Semitism is. The definition of new anti-Semitism is the generalizations about Israel in a way in which to make the Jewish community appear in a bigoted way against them, and to generalize in conspiracy theories. All the things she's trafficking in are canards of tropes of bigotry against the Jewish community that is classic new anti-Semitism, and the Democrats are making fools out of themselves by not taking the bull by the horns and teaching her on-the-job training, which shouldn't have to be done, of what anti-Semitism is.
Yeah, and this is not the first time. As we've talked about, there are things in the past, but more than one occurrence since she joined Congress. Congressman Cedric Richmond said this. He said, I think there's a big rise in anti-Semitism and racism, and that's a bigger conversation we need to be having, but it starts at 1600 Pennsylvania. It doesn't start with one member out of 435 members of Congress. Senator, what do you make of them pointing the finger back at the president?
Well, I think they're trying to avoid dealing with the reality they have in front of them. The reality they have in front of them is a member of Congress who is anti-Semitic, who serves on the Foreign Relations Committee. These are, by the way, this is not just new anti-Semitism. This is classic anti-Semitism. Talking about Jews controlling the media, big money controlling politicians. The new anti-Semitism is what she's also part of supporting, which is the BDS movement, which is a way to say Israel shouldn't exist, so we're going to drive Israel out by boycotting, et cetera, sanctions. And so that's the new anti-Semitism. But what you're hearing from Omar is classic anti-Semitism, and the way to deal with that is classically point the finger at somebody else, and that's all this is about.
I think we heard enough of, the right-wing Republican point of view on this. Dave, you there?
Yeah. And I'm glad that it was stopped there. Now, here's why I think this is very, very important, because this is an acoustic dragnet. And this acoustic dragnet is very, very important because of this. I'm going to tell you this. If you look at what she really said, okay? See, what it is that there is a division that's necessary to control people. And my opinion is that there is not one person on this planet that should be pro-Zionism. Nazism, neo-Nazi conservatism, Nazi conservatism. And it's not a measure of being against anyone. It's against being against the policy of Zionism. And that's what, you know, really her comment was about, because her comment was talking about that the United States is treating a foreign entity like a private domestic entity that should be called into question. And she's absolutely right. With the overall relationship with the Zionist approach that is in the Zionist agenda. But that's what she was talking about. And here's what...
Well Dave, I think it's important, though, that we point out that none of what you they just accused her of, she said. She didn't say Jews are in control of the media. Nope. That's what white conservatives say. That's what those people marching at Charlottesville that Trump called very fine people. That's what they traffic in. That's what Alex Jones traffics in, those type of things, you know, saying Jews control the media and all this. But what she said was, the first thing that she said was, AIPAC is getting, let me paraphrase what she said, and I shouldn't do that. I should look up exactly what she said. But she was criticizing AIPAC as a big money lobbying group that is getting, that's in control of Washington, D.C. Part of that swamp people was talking about that exists up there. And then, you know, framing AIPAC as a Jewish group, you have to call that into question. AIPAC stands for what? American Israeli Political Action Committee. What is an American Israeli? That's a U.S. citizen with also dual citizenship in Israel. Those are nationalities. It's not a religious designation. It's not an ethnic designation. It's a nationality. In this case, dual nationality. You know, Barack Obama had a bunch of American Israelis in his cabinet. So we're not talking about Jews. We're talking about American Israelis. And I was just reading an article today, this morning, about how the Israeli government is going to allow one of their far right wing racist terroristic political parties to enter into the elections, but are banning Arab candidates from running. Now, I thought they said that was a democracy, but they are banning people from partaking in a political process that are Israeli citizens. See, Israel has diversity in their citizenship. It's just that they practicing white supremacy, and if you ain't an Ashkenazi, Yiddish speaking, who might have picked up some Hebrew, but your grandfather, your great-grandfather was speaking Yiddish over there in Europe, and you converted to Judaism and what have you. Nothing wrong with that. But they're practicing white supremacy. Ask the Ethiopian Jews. Bring up police brutality and Ethiopian Jews in Israel. Black people being brutalized, having marches, Black Lives Matter marches over there in Israel. Ask the Arab citizens of Israel that's just been banned from this. And then also, Dave, what is this dude making up stuff? We got people. This is a new anti-Semitism, and the U.S. government came up with this this definition. Creating stuff out of thin air.
Right. New definition.
Yeah, this is the new definition, although she's trafficking in classic definition. No, she said AIPAC uses money just like Big Pharma, just like Big Tobacco, just like Big Private Prison, uses money to get degrees to legislative wheels to get legislation favoring their whatever their special interests. That's how politics works. So to even say, again, it's incorrect to even say AIPAC is a Jewish organization. If you criticize AIPAC, you're criticizing a Jewish. It's not a Jewish organization. It's an American Israeli Political Action Committee. That's what it is. What do super PACs do? Collect money and spend money. Who funds AIPAC? right-wing American Israelis like Sheldon Adelson, billionaire who backed Trump, you know, white Jerry Falwell type evangelicals who are also racist, and then the defense companies. That's AIPAC. Does that sound Jewish to you? That don't sound Jewish to me. That sounds like an American-Israeli political action committee that is raising money, spending money to get politicians to support Israel through legislation, whether it's through however that $5 billion they getting every year, however they getting it, that's what AIPAC is doing. They ain't got nothing to do with being Jewish. That's why they read the other story about the 40 different groups saying, hey, criticizing Israel isn't anti-Semitism. But also, when you criticizing American Israeli Jews that are white, they aren't Semites. The majority of American Jews, German Jews, Russian Jews, and those that made their way over to Israel, those aren't Semites. They speak Yiddish. Yiddish is not a Semitic language. So you got to, again, this is counting on people not knowing true definitions and what have you. What's a Semite? This comes, if you just type in what is a Semitic person, this is what it says. Semite, person speaking one of a group of related languages, presumably derived from a common language. Semitic, see Semitic languages. The term came to include Arabs, Akkadians, Canaanites, some Ethiopians, and some Armenian tribes, including Hebrews. So a Semite can be the Palestinian people. Don't they speak Arabic? What about the Israeli Arab citizen? Are we calling it Israel's Ashkenazi Zionist government of being anti-Semitic? I'm going by this definition, if you understand who the Semitic people are, then yes. So, again, this depends on us being schooled and not taught how to think.
That's it. And it's well said, Scotty. And I'm going to say this. This is what Omar represent. What Omar said. She basically was saying that the pro-Israeli lobby in the United States, see what Scotty said? She said the pro-Israeli lobby in the United States is pushing for alliance to a foreign country. Is she lying?
No.
Not at all.
Did she say anything about some Jews?
It's a foreign country. And it's, I'm going to go to Roz in one sec. And it was all set up. And there's a very, very important dynamic in this, because it appeases the eye for what they want to really start to create division-wise, that everyone will be acoustically and emotionally tied into and will kill each other over it. And they're going to play it. So real quick, let me go to Roz real quick. Then I got to come back and I got to bring this one part in as well. I can't see. I heard Roz say, excuse me. Was Roz calling on the other lines? I can't see that. Roz, was that you?
Yes, it is. Peace. Greetings to you, Brother Dave. Peace to you, Brother Scotty. Pastor Keith, one love to you as well, and to the other callers and listeners. This is a quite profound situation. I think what we're really seeing is the holistic rise of fascism, which is something Dr. Wilson talked about before she passed away. There was a show that came on CBS like maybe 2 years ago. It was only one season, and they shut it off. It was called Brain Dead. And it was about this meteor that crashed to the planet Earth, and the meteor was full of these little insects that nobody knew what they were. So the insects left the meteor and started crawling into the ears of politicians, and it started eating their brains and basically took over their brains and started controlling all of their politics, because these creatures were planning on taking over the United States. And the metaphor for that, to me, it was a metaphor for Israel. Because not every politician was infected, only certain ones, and they would behave in a specific manner, and if they tried to fight the mind control, their brains would explode. That was how the show went. And to me, Israel is that alien, and you have some of our politicians that are infected as far as dealing with these Zionist Israeli politicians. And I don't understand what the wholesale support for Israel, regardless of the fact of anything that they do that is unjust, comes from, except for the fact that the United States was the blueprint for what Israel did use to do what they did to the Palestinians. So there's a kinship there because they both did the same thing in two different parts of the world. America was Israel before Israel existed. And what one of the beginning stages of fascism is stopping people from speaking out against the things that are incorrect in the society. And that wholesale support of Israel, giving them how I think it's like what $6 billion a year, every year they've been getting this government handout from the United States, and anybody who speaks against them are summarily dealt with by being called anti-Semitic. So this to me is just the rise of an Israeli version of fascism. The other thing about it too is when you look at some of the other things going on in combination. You have beyond the censoring of speech, speaking judgmentally towards Israel's behavior in the world. You also have the idea of getting rid of books. They destroyed books in Germany before they went forward with the so-called Holocaust, right? Now, if you look across the United States, all of the black bookstores practically are gone. They have all disappeared. These were the places we went to get information about what was happening currently and what happened in the past to make the proper connection. So the destruction of black books is a whole other thing. And I'm looking specifically at black people because we're the ones that this behavior is going to be focused on. They just had a video where some high school students, white high school students, came out and said they want to put black people back in concentration. We should be placed in concentration camps and that we should all be killed except for the rappers and the football players because they pay black football players and rappers to entertain them. That's what the high school students said, white high school students. Then the final thing is... Also, recently, there's been a rash of having our children reenact picking cotton. Scotty's posted videos on it. I've posted videos on it. A whole bunch of young people down south are being taught about their ancestors picking cotton by forcing them to actually pick cotton. So the psychology is gearing us. Just Dr. John Henry Clark said this in the early 90s, that the educational system in the United States is geared towards getting black children and black people to accept their own re-enslavement. Dr. Welsing said the same thing before she passed away, that they're moving towards a more overt form of white supremacy, going back to pre-1865 white supremacy. And when you put all those things in combination, there's nothing else to conclude except exactly what these two honorable elders, now grandcestors, said. And with that, I'll mute myself. Thank you, good brothers. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
And, you know, it's the overall fascist move is real, and it's been here, and there's a methodology to it. And I named today's show the Dragnet, the Acoustic Dragnet, because I'm going to tell you, if you really look at how this has been done throughout human history, it's about division, and that in dividing people, you can subjugate and enslave them even more. And this was actually purposely done. This was on the agenda. It was on the agenda for a personality to come into and to present and to act all of these things out, and for the conditions for that to happen to happen. This was purposeful. This was purposeful. There was no progression when Omar became a U.S. a House of Representative member. No, that was the agenda. That was is much bigger than what our emotions are. It's the factual truths of everything that really play. They use emotions to control people. And it's so important that we understand this and look at this, else we're going to get continuously played. And when I say we're going to get continuous played, I mean it will not ever end, because that's how control is established. Because from that emotion, they tell you what to think, what to do, because it's be pleasing to you. Instead of looking at things from a holistic, benevolent standpoint, to be able to discern through maturity and disciplined as to what the enemy's agenda is, what the evil content is. And that's what this whole setup is being done for. And it's here, and it's here in a very profound way. Let me give you some real evidence of this and how it's being used. In this one article, the Republicans and Democrats say that their criticism of Omar is about anti-Semitism. They're gassing you. It's absolutely right. Here's the article. So let me get this straight. The President of the United States has called neo-Nazis fine people, retweeted neo-Nazis told at an audience of Jewish Americans that Israel is your country, and indulging in victorious anti-Semitic conspiracy theories while running for office, he tweeted that an image of Hillary Clinton inside of a Star of David next to a pile of cash. He tweeted that. And Keith, what did you just, send me something that Sylvia figurehead Donald Trump said Omar should resign.
Go on.
And told the audience of Jewish donors, you want to control your politics? You hear what he just said? You want to control your politicians? He didn't say you want to own your politicians. He said you want to control your politicians. See, they understand the language of subjugation and enslavement thoroughly. The people that are subjugated don't. He said, quote, you want to control your politicians. That's fine. And put out a campaign ad that attacked three rich and powerful Jewish figures while a private citizen insisted only short guys that wear yarmulkes should count his money and keep a, and he keeps a book of Adolf Hitler speeches at his bedside table. See, this is all the sacred airwaves of the media to be able to control people. When Omar said what she said was true, there's a lobbying group. She said there is a pro-Israeli lobbying group in the United States that's pushing for the alliance to a foreign country. And they called her anti-Semitic. Now they want to have a House resolution that won't name her, but they're talking directly about her. And they wanted to change the definition of what anti-Semitic is, because this is all manipulative. This is all a part of the agenda, because what they're going to do is they're going to break the social structure down here so that everyone will be at each other's throat over emotions and not even aware that you're being emotionally driven. You're mostly being driven to psychotic measures.
Let's say that last part again, because I think that's key, that not going to be aware. See, propaganda is one of the most powerful forces on this earth. It is. You know, it's been demonstrated over and over and over and over and over again. And it doesn't take long. It's almost overnight. If you look at the last 2 years of what Trump has done, he has changed the psyche of the American people in all kind of untold ways, and they're not even aware of it.
Yep. You remember with the so-called Russian KGB agent that fled Russia and seeked asylum in the U.S. And he chronicled how that the U.S. population would be attacked and nullified. We played that here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said what the agenda was and what the overall methodology was. But what is the outcome? Here's the outcome. If you can divide people, you can get one group to stand on one side, another group to stand on another side, and they will be doing your bidding and killing each other for your profit. That's how this corrupt system really does work. It takes people and divides them. Because if you are able to align yourself with what's true and what's sincere, and you have a real maturity about how evil really works and what their agenda is, instead of looking at, well, how can I get into this system and get what I want out of this system, because it hurt me. A hurt child always grows up to be an angry adult. And they're setting us up for this whole place. This is how this is going to play out.
Okay, before you do that, I want to point something out to you. Again, what you just said. A hurt child what?
Always grows up to be an angry adult.
And what is our biggest issues? And again, we don't know why. In the black community, one of our largest issues by far is anger issues.
But I don't know. How could it not be?
But everybody's asking...
Right. Yeah.
Why are they angry?
Why are they angry? Right. Because that's the setup. And the thing about it, let me just say this. Let me tell you something about the controllers. They don't care what you look like. They care about your energy output only. They want to energy primarily, first and foremost. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And this is all being purposely done. You know, what Ilhan Omar said, where she exposed the corruption that those that are benefiting from that corruption now sees that as a threat. So how do you get somebody to kill somebody for you? Is you attach emotion to it. And it's all a setup. This is being done because the destabilization of the U.S. is at full throttle. And all of this is going to be momentumized and used even more. And it's not just one-sided. See, one of the things that is so powerful in control is that they don't just fund one side. They create the overall an atmosphere of evil everywhere, because it's evil by which they have their means of control. So this is all a part of the setup. This is all a part of the setup. You know, Keith, I call, and I don't mean to offend, but this is the truth. Hear this. Actors and actresses are professional liars.
Yeah. By profession?
By profession, actors and actresses are professional liars. They lie very, very well. They play a role in everything else, but it's still a lie. They're not that individual, right? And politicians are professional serial killers. One thing you have to remember about when you deal with the media, when you deal with politicians and you deal with government, when you come and don't have a full understanding of what the capabilities of your enemies are, because one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to tantalize your anger. They're going to tantalize the deep-seating hurt that you have. They're going to actually put a threat to you. They're going to pick out who your enemy is, where your threat is, and say this is rightfully yours when none of it is unorchestrated. All of it is orchestrated. And the thing about it is they're going to use that against you And this is how this perpetuates. And they're going to give you something that's appealing to your eye, appealing to your taste, appealing to your ears, and everything else. But it's all being sought and set up for control, to keep you subjugated. Soon they're going to have a war against Iran. Soon they're going to have a war that extends in Palestine, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Israel. Soon they're going to have all of this emotion so turned up, and through nationalistic occultism, people will be willing to kill another person that they never even saw before, never met, because they have the right uniform on, they're the right religion, they're this, they're that. All of that was put into together and created for one reason and one reason only: to make you pay your taxes. And the tax that they're talking about is not your income tax. They make you pay for your birthright. And they make you pay for your birthright through the methodology of destruction. They don't want people to think. They don't want people to be self-sufficient, sovereign. They want people to obey. They want people to designate themselves as a side that's been determined and defined under a new definition of them. And this is how we get these wars that are unending. This is how poverty continues to cast itself across the land. This is how disease and famine is commonplace. This is how you have an inequitable disparity of wealth. You know, today's world.
You mean an inequitable disparity?
Yes, an inequitable disparity.
That's kind of a negative, but yeah.
Well, it's unequitable. This is how you have an unequitable distribution of wealth.
Right.
Today's world is all about disunion, rising disunion, because they want to rise disunion, because then they can get you into war, inequality, from resources to income to everything else, because then that's how they can raise the overall pain and anger, polarizing the political systems, so that they can have an accurate account of who will stand where, what soldiers will take up arms, and to wage a war that they're going to gain from. It's a stagnant demise. So we got Brother Davis that wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
This is going to be a lot of information relatively quickly, so listen closely. These Jews are from Kurdistan. The history shows that they migrated into Europe and got caught up in that whole transition of war between Germany, Russia, and all of that. That's how they were caught in the German state. There was a Jew who was an Austrian Jew of the same sect who lived in Europe. His name was Rothschild. He was behind the Bettencourt Agreement in order for the movement of the Jews to go into Israel. Understand this. He started the third-party banking system. His tentacles stretched all over civilization at that time. When the United States opened up, the United States would not allow a third banking system. Why? Because all of this money that they were filtering in literally was the backbone of the Zionist movement around the world, not just one place. So let me be very clear about this. When Dave talks to you about this is all over the world, this is absolutely all over the world, because the banking system that was incorporated by the United States due to President Andrew winning the presidency in 1917, there was a meeting on Tybee Island amongst the bankers in America in which one of the sons of Rothschilds was there. And they introduced the third-party banking system to the group of millionaires at the time, which consisted of the power players. At that particular time, it was I can't even think of them. It's got so many things going in my head. But Standard Oil was there. The Rockefellers was there. All of the players at that time were there. What they came up with was the Federal Reserve Act. They told this man he could get the presidency and they would finance it if he would initiate the Federal Reserve Act. That year when he was elected, the first thing he did when Congress went on vacation was to initiate the Federal Reserve Act. Now, why does that play a powerful role? Because that is who you pay taxes to. There is no tax law, and there's no law on the books anywhere that says you have to pay what's called occupational tax. But that money is being filtered into the third-party system set up by the Rothschilds in order to give financial debris to all of these Jewish services that are now being openly, should I say, they're having the covers pulled back of them. Remember the Wizard of Oz when they said close the curtain? Well, now the curtain's being pulled off. This is why I said before this was a major war between two financial systems. It had nothing to do with the United States completely. They play a part of the role, but not completely. This system that we have gone to war for many, many, many times, in which no American war, let me be very clear, no American war had anything to do with domestics or, should we say, democracy. It all had to do with corporate control and the manipulation of populations into an ideology. And this is where we are today. We are caught up in the facets of warring ideologies. And this is why this woman in Congress is being fingered, because she's pulling the curtain back that a lot of people knew what was behind but didn't know how to bring it out. Well, as she does bring it out, and it will, all it's going to do is expose more of, should we say, the soft spots of the system itself. Because the financial system as it is definitely going to fall. What they're trying to do is find a replacement money system in order so that they can maintain a position of power, which I don't think is actually going to happen, but there'll be a lot of depth and a depression between now and the resolve of it all. But don't think for one minute that what this woman is saying is just limited to the United States. No, this is exposing the whole world. And if you don't believe it, ask yourself this. Why don't PACs ever say what the source of their finances are? All these so-called political PACs that they have right now, the reason why they don't is because many of them are being financed by the same sources. Oh, and I'm sorry to say, a lot of it's your tax dollars. I just wanted to add that, Brother Dave. Thank you.
Well, well said, Brother Davis. And, you know, and when Brother Davis said the Standard Oil was there, and most one thing I would love for everyone to know, Sony, you know Sony Chief? That Standard Oil of New York is not the overall acoustic equipment making company, or old Standard Oil of New York. Realize, I mean, if you take a look at how that came about and is so a part of this conspiracy agenda, because that's all this, all of this is really based in a conspiracy. They are conspiring to commit human rights crimes across the globe. And they will continue to do it if we continue to fall for the setups. And they're going to, believe me, they're going to keep this going and going. We played a lot of different quotes from different individuals. They'll tell you what their agenda is, what they're really after, because they know that it has not been domesticated in our schools. Their actual objective has been domesticated in the schools. So that's what most people accept. So well said, Brother Davis. There's a lot to this whole thing. And I'm saying this, and the reason why I said that today's show was the acoustic dragnet is because you're going to hear how they are trying to move a trap that catches everybody in this its net of subjugation and enslavement. And they're going to do it by means and methods that are not original. They're the same tactics that were used many times before. It just happens to be very new to us. And the same end result is going to happen if we continue to fall for the tricks of the past and allow the tricks of the past to be our present direction. It's going to require us to be shrewdly keen to the deception. And I'm going to tell you, the deceptor, the devil always wears his Sunday's best, or the Sunday's best. Meaning that the overall evil is always going to come in a way to you so that it can present itself as being accepted by you. You got to be able to identify that low frequency. Be careful of the sacred airwaves of the silver screen. There's a reason why they call it the silver screen, because of the magic behind it. Hollywood, be careful of what comes out of all of them that's in the political arena. Those that have the overall camera's attention is because the director of the camera said action. And the scripts are always read. And they create these overall personalities and individuals to represent what they want to be represented so that their end result will be achieved and guaranteed.
Hey, Dave.
We need to remove our energy so we don't participate. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, but, you know, again, that clip I played of Malcolm X, he was speaking to this issue. He don't get a lot of attention for his observations about the media, but there are some lectures out there, and I'm breaking them down into individual sound bites or whatnot. Because some people, you know, they just absorb that information. You can't, you know, it's like baby. It's like feeding a baby. You got to give them little bites at a time until they can eat the solid food and get hit off with the whole lecture. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think also what you were talking about with the script. And look, Joy Ann Reed, who I discussed earlier, she was reading off a teleprompter. It sounds like to me that don't think that these are these hosts' own thoughts. They've been given a direction. They by a director. Who is that director, that news producer of that particular program? And then he has a boss, and he has a boss. And like Malcolm was saying, that's how they can. That's how the a minority of people get to control the opinions, because they're the opinion makers. They create the false perceptions of which people are basing their opinions on. Therefore, their opinion is likely to be wrong and what have you. But I think the popularity of Black Talk Radio Network is because it's unscripted. It's not anything like you're going to get from CBS Radio, ABC Radio. Oh, you didn't know they do radio as well as television and cable? You know what I'm saying? Or any of the other corporate, you know, media. What we do is unscripted. It's unscripted. We have an outline for the program and how we like to go, but we don't, you know, and we already have our own opinions and what have you, but we just interpret the news or interpret the current events or interpret and give you our point of view, but it's all unscripted. And I think that's what's popular about Black Talk Radio Network over these other more quote-unquote polished or mainstream type outlets.
And, you know, Scott, I never even really thought about it, but I think you're absolutely right, because, you know, we could come on the show and have and we don't even talk about it. It's so true, and I appreciate it. And then all of our participants, you know, the people that engage, Rise called in, Brother Davis called in, you know, they're not coming with a script. You know, they're coming with, and, you know, they just calling off their own. I want to read this before we get out of here, Keith. One more time. I've read this plenty, plenty times over, and I want this to absorb into just your thought process, because I want you to at least have the ability to say that, okay, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's an agenda here that I'm not really looking at. And it may not be true, or may not be true. You may not accept, and I'm not telling you what you should accept. But what I am saying is that I am saying be open to everything, because there's many traps that are being laid. This is Rothschild, the Rothschild brother of London, writing to his associates in New York City, in New York, in 1863. The Rothschild brothers of London, writing to their associates in New York in 1863. Who do you think their associates were? The people that they were in relationship with. Hear this. Quote, "The few who understand the system," this is why I always call it the system, "the few who understand the system will either be so interested in its profits or be so dependent upon its favor that there will be no opposition from that class. While on the other hand, the great body of people mentally incapable of comprehending the tremendous advantage that capital derives from the system will bear its burden without complaint, and perhaps even without even suspecting that the system is inimical to their interests." That is
true.
How this system really works.
Human nature.
We'll break that down at another time. Big ups. Thanks to my man Rise for calling in. Well, well said. Brother Davis, well, well said, calling in. Thank you so much. Scotty, for your participation. Keith, for your participation. And everyone that's listening to Tando Radio Show, much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure you give one away. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.